Tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday in person or right here on KSBK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus today. Great to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ to receive the Lord's gifts, both in word and sacrament. We also welcome those who are tuning in on the radio on KSBK this morning. Thanks for joining us for our service as well. We'll be worshiping today to the order of divine service setting one, and enjoying also a bit of a special sort of Sunday, as on Wednesday was our church's celebration of the conversion of St. Paul, and we're observing that celebration today, hence my white stole that doesn't match our seasonal color of green in observance of that feast of the conversion of St. Paul. So we'll hear in our readings this morning about that experience that the Apostle Paul had on the road to Damascus. And we're glad to be celebrating that and joining together with you all. We do invite you to turn to hymn 685 this morning as we sing our opening hymn, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus. And we do invite the congregation gathered to please stand on the last verse of the hymn this morning as we begin. Thanks for joining us. We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
We observe a moment of silence for reflection on God's word and self-examination. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with our introit from Ephesians chapter 4 and chapter 2. When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers for building up the body of Christ. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but members of the household of God. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you turned the heart of him who persecuted the church, and by his preaching caused the light of the gospel to shine throughout the world. Grant us ever to rejoice in the saving light of your gospel, and following the example of the Apostle Paul, to spread it to the ends of the earth through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for our celebration of the conversion of the Apostle Paul comes from, appropriately, Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 22. As we read through this reading, please recognize that when Saul was young, he was also given the name Paul. And that was probably for the sake of trade and various things like that. So when you hear Saul or Paul, we're referring to the same person. We begin in verse 1 of Acts chapter 9. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, He is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our readings this morning with Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson for today comes from Galatians chapter 1. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the region of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they've glorified God because of me. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we sing our Alleluia verse and read our Holy Gospel reading.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia,
the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 19th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Peter said in reply, see, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? Jesus said to them, truly, I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us in singing our hymn of the day today, hymn 611, Chief of Sinners Though I Be. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know when you pull the car into the shop to change the oil and you do that preventive maintenance that we talked about last Sunday, if you were able to be here and join us, sometimes when you look underneath the car, you find some other things that you need to do as well. And so the preventive maintenance continues on the vehicle. And I guess we continue with the preventive maintenance sermonizing too. You know, to keep ahead of the eventual things that can technically take place in the world and in the church. Last week we spoke about something very important. Our need for each other within the fellowship of believers. For there exists, according to the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, every gift in the church in Christ. We spoke of forgiveness also, and how important it is to confess our sins to one another, and how the duty to speak up when someone has sinned against us is given to us by the Lord. This Sunday, we recall and celebrate the conversion of the Apostle Paul. And we get a more detailed example from his story in Acts chapter 9 of this exact reality. See, there Jesus himself comes to Saul, or Paul, as we know him, and literally, if you heard it in the story, confronts him. Confronts him because he sinned against him. And Jesus doesn't just leave it lay. He confronts Saul on the road, saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Our Lord Jesus, in his love for his bride, the church, is himself willing to go to those who sin against him and confront them in love, as we see with Paul. Forgive them in baptism in Ananias' house and open up their eyes to see what being a Christian is all about. It's a powerful witness of what we spoke of last Sunday from Matthew chapter 18, and Jesus' commands there to go to those who've sinned against us and tell them and forgive them. Here we see Jesus doing it himself. So I have to ask, how's it going for you in this reality? How's it going? Jesus tells us if someone has sinned against us that we should go to them and speak the truth to them and then forgive them. How's that going for you? If you want to know how it's going for me, we can talk about it after church if you want to. But we're working on this together. This is something we're learning from our Lord. And he wants us to see this morning that he's not asking us to do anything that he wasn't willing to do himself. Proof? Acts chapter 9. He's also not asking us to do anything that he hasn't made us able to do. He's given us the ability to do it. He's leading us. His word is at work within us by his Holy Spirit just to bring peace to our lives and reconciliation with our neighbors. And this isn't a one-time sort of activity, you know, like a one-and-done kind of thing. This is everyday discipleship as a believer. This is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. One of the things. I don't know why, but I experienced this myself too, that there's something within us that always wants to gain something for ourselves. It's always weighing what's in it for us. Is it worth it to listen to Jesus' commands and act on them? Or would the personal cost be too great if we were to obey him? See, sin does not want to be subject to any authority at all, especially God's authority. It's rebellious at its core, sin is, and it hates being told what to do. And it looks for every excuse the flesh can offer to avoid it and hold its own pride up and its own self-image as more important than God's word and instruction. And it's like we can innately sense that it's wrong of us to even get offended. It's like we innately know that. We should be stronger than that. Yeah, we probably should. But we're not. We're not. Sometimes, and this is an important thing to say on this topic, this preventative maintenance topic, it's important to say that we can at times get over things with the Lord kind of on our own, right? It's not like we make a laundry list of every tiny little thing that ever happened to us and then we try to go talk to all of those people. That's not what we're saying. But if the offense lasts an hour, if an hour later you're still driving in your car or walking down the street or sitting in your home having that little mini conversation with yourself, you know that conversation? I do. It goes on, right? And those are weird conversations because we get to control both sides of that conversation. How often has that calmed you down? Never. No, it just riles you up when you get to control both sides of that. But if it lasts like that, listen to your Lord. That's what he tells us to do. Go to the person and tell them that they've sinned against you, that they've hurt you. Ephesians chapter 4 puts it this way, verses 25 to 27. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath or your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil. Can we be ready to act on this command of our Lord? That if someone does sin against us, we can go to them, speak the truth in love, and then forgive? Or would we resist obstinately the work of faith within us? And if we have done that exact thing, thanks be to God. He helped us. And we give him praise for it and not ourselves. But I can't let this go. I have to ask, why do we always want to calculate to see what's in it for us before we'll do it? Well, that leads us to what's taking place in our gospel lesson today from Matthew chapter 19. Literally, Peter asked Jesus, after hearing the part that's right before our gospel reading is the part with the rich young ruler, and Jesus sort of explaining that to his disciples, saying it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a sewing needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. I always say sewing needle just so it makes the point. That's what's the context of this. And right after that, Peter, fearing that he's going to have to be poor to follow Jesus, asked him this question. This was the first verse in our reading in Matthew 19 from the gospel. He said, then Peter said in reply, see, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? Or in other words, what's in it for us? And Jesus lets him know that there's great benefit for those who follow him. But the rest of the context below our passage in the scripture, the next passage, is the laborers in the vineyard. And with that parable, Jesus lets them know that it's going to be up to him what the benefit is. But there's great benefit. So the question comes before us this morning. And it came before Peter later in Matthew's gospel. Is the benefit enough to obey what the Lord tells us? Fast forward with me just a little bit. Peter, the night before Jesus' crucifixion, you might remember the story. He's warming himself out by the fire in the courtyard. In chapter 26, a servant girl comes up to him and asks Peter right there if he's one of Jesus' disciples. That's what the scripture does to us. In Matthew chapter 18, when Jesus tells us to go to the person who sinned against us, that text, it does the same thing to us. It's like that servant girl when we hear it. It says to you and to me, are you one of Jesus' disciples? Will you do this? Like Jesus did on the road to Damascus when he confronted the apostle Paul. Are you one of Jesus' disciples? Remember our hymn that we opened with this morning? Let us ever walk with Jesus. Follow his example pure. Sure, in this. Yes. If we are his disciples, we should never deny what he teaches us and tells us to do. Then another person outside by the gate of the courtyard comes up to Peter, another servant girl. Verse 71 of Matthew 26 and says, this man is with Jesus of Nazareth. What will Peter do? Oh, I already know. He'll deny his Lord a second time. And we know that Jesus told Peter just before this event, that before the cock crowed, he would deny him three times. He was right about Peter. And I don't think we should ever think that the things that Jesus told him in chapter 19 about the sitting on the 12 thrones and judging Israel and being returned 100-fold because of his sacrifices for Jesus were not on his mind also that night. Now we might be sitting here or standing here in those same kind of shoes when we heard what we needed to do when someone had offended us and sinned against us, when we heard what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Was it worth it to Peter? Sadly, it wasn't. Is it worth it to us? Thank God that he forgives us our sins and that we can forgive others. But how can we forgive anyone or share this blessed gift that's talked about in the Lord's Prayer when we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us? How can we forgive someone if we don't speak up? He told Peter and all his disciples, he would not leave us alone. But he would send the helper, the comforter, his own strength and his own motivation by his Holy Spirit. And after the Spirit came at Pentecost, sheepish, calculating Peter, who denied his Lord right there by the fire, became bold for Christ. Bold. He confronted those who hurt him. There's accounts of it in Acts. Just like his Lord told him to. And he confronted those who sinned against Jesus. There's accounts of that in Acts 2. If you recall Simon the magician, he let him have it. He did it. He even gave up his own life for Christ according to tradition. And all of a sudden for Peter and for every disciple of Jesus, the conclusion, it's not worth it, by the help of God, changes and becomes, he is worth it. My Lord is worth it to pick up our crosses daily, to die to ourselves and our pride, and to obey what he teaches us to do. He is worth it. He's given us his power from on high. He's given us our faith in the water of our baptism. And that's a faith that acts, that does things. That through the death of Jesus, his resurrection, through that gift of faith, God continues his work within us by his word and Holy Spirit. And what did Jesus do after this thing happened with Peter? After his death and his resurrection, how did he treat Peter? Did he hold Peter's feet to that fire out in the courtyard when Peter saw him after the resurrection? No. No, he didn't. He came to him and he comforted him and he strengthened him and he forgave him and he fed him just like he does for us this morning. We don't deserve his kindness, but this is who our Lord truly is. Yeah, he'll confront you about your sin. He does it to all of us. Every time we pick up his word, if we read it, it confronts us. But right there, also, we hear him. He forgives us, and he loves us, and he feeds us, and he comforts us. And we do not live in Christ, in the weakness of our sin. Our sin is there, and we struggle with it all the time. But we live according to the word of God, in the strength of God, in the power of what that forgiveness does for us. Jesus' forgiveness that we have already received this morning. It takes away the guilt. It takes away the shame. The things that would keep us from obeying his words. The cross makes us free to stop calculating what's in it for us and simply love our neighbors as ourselves. That's really what empowers Peter. And that's what empowers us. So more preventative maintenance. If someone hurts you, listen to your Lord. The Spirit is at work within you. When that thought comes into your mind, to go and tell them. Don't harden your hearts. Don't deny him. I'm talking to myself too. See the difference between Peter before Pentecost and Peter after Pentecost. And thereby see the power of God in his Holy Spirit. That power is at work within you and within me by his grace. And in the church is every gift in Christ. The Bible tells us we're born of a new creation. A brand new creation. That rooster might crow. Yeah, let him crow. May he not find us denying him in the things that he teaches us. As we said last week, so we say again. We are more than conquerors together in Christ. And we can accomplish this, and we can accomplish anything in Christ's church because there's every gift. We're not weak in this. We're strong. Very strong. Because Jesus died for us. And Jesus loves us. And he forgives us. And he's here. With us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh, at this time, we invite the congregation to please stand as we confess our faith together this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father
Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, and God of not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us in Romans' time, he suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom thou hast. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge the baptism of the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Almighty Lord and judge of all, do not contend against us, for although your indictment of our sinfulness is true, your Son has suffered our condemnation. Hear him as he pleads for our pardon, and for his sake forgive us our sins and preserve us as your people. Lord, in your mercy. God of all wisdom, you tell us plainly that the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but it is your power to all who are being saved. Strengthen the faith of pastors and congregations, that they would not turn to man-made wisdom, but boldly proclaim Christ and him crucified. Lord, in your mercy. God of all glory, make us meek before you. Remove our stubborn inclination to follow our sinful desires, and strengthen us gladly to submit to your holy will as we await the day of the new heaven and the new earth. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you have given your firstborn for our transgressions. We pray that you'd strengthen all parents and guardians, that children in their care might not be trained in the transgression of those who came before them, but would be trained in your ways and rejoice in your ways. Lord, we lift up to you today the unmarried, that you would bless them in seeing their calling and how it's special with you. Lord, that you continue to bless homes and families, that they might be a haven of your love. And Lord, that within those homes, they would speak the truth in love to one another. They would not let the sun go down on their wrath with each other. And that peace and reconciliation would rule in our homes and in all Christian homes. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O Lord of lords, you rescued your people from Egypt. You confounded kings, and you protected your precious lambs. We pray that you would guide the decisions and actions of all earthly authority, that your people may live in peace and quietness. And Lord, that you thwart evil at work in our nation, that you disrupt those plans, Lord, and preserve peace in our land. Lord, in your mercy. God of all truth, bless those who are reviled or who are slandered because of Jesus. Strengthen them with grace. Provide for all their needs of body and soul, and maintain in them the joy and gladness that in Christ their reward in heaven is great. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you choose what is weak in the world, and you use it to put to shame the strong. And you use our infirmities. You use them for our good. Hear our prayers on behalf of all who are afflicted, those who've asked for our prayers this morning. We name before you today Rita Allen, Sandra Cody, Bobby Cody, Ron Simpson, Lee Connor, the family of Wolfgang Lambert, Carolyn Jury, the family of Jane Cohen, the family of Ann Sturr, Mona Hauser, Billy Clonch and Missy, Don and Betty Iser, Dave Johnson, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, deliver them according to your will and make use of all of the trials we must face to increase our faith and confidence in you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, teach us to hunger for you and thirst for you, for your flesh and blood, that by your holy communion we may be cleansed of our sin and equipped to love you above all and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, receive our thanks for the saints whom you preserved in righteousness and delivered to glory, especially as we celebrate today the Apostle Paul and the work that you did through him. And purify our hearts by your grace and strengthen us against temptation, that we would look joyfully to the day when we will see you in your glory through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, we come to the time in our service where we receive our tithes and our offerings for use in the kingdom and for the gospel. Our organist will play an instrumental this morning as our offerings are collected and presented by our usher. If you're joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for being with us for our worship service. If you're gathered together here in the sanctuary, we invite you to continue with our service here to the service of the Holy Sacrament that's found on page 10 in your bulletin. Please stand if you're able. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, for you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which you blessed apostles and evangelists to proclaim your divine and saving gospel. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, and with your servant Paul, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM. And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cozen live from Trinity Lutheran,
Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.